B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan on a Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday. B?
Yep. Football Talk on 106.7 The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Shout out to our guy, Rusty, reporting the truth. Rusty in Delaware says, Jeff only reports back Madden wins when he's beating up on elementary-aged opponents. All right. Right now, time for us to get on the Rude guest hotline. Rude makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We're leaving the DMV.
I'm reposting that.
We're going deep in the heart of Texas. Our friend Bobby Belt covers the Cowboys for 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. You can hear him in the mornings in Dallas on Shannon RJ. Bobby, thank you for making time. I know you are busy. That football team keeps you very busy, sir.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you're just getting ready to kind of wind down and like have a quiet evening at home, and then a trade happens, and then a press release comes through that's like, hey, drive to 30 minutes to Frisco by 6:30 tonight for a press conference that you definitely don't want to miss. And so it's always fun to keep up with them.
Yeah, man. I know that life well, but maybe not Jerry well. I'm curious what the pulse of Cowboys fans is, but let's start with, I mean, you know that team inside and out. What do you make of the trade?
So let's take it up from two. The actual fallout and culture impact of the trade, or do you mean the return they got?
Let's talk straight football to start. The actual trade.
Okay, I think that if you want to look at this, ultimately didn't get done because of, I think, hurt feelings and trust issues and different things like that that stem from this confusion over, was it a negotiation that Jerry and Micah had back in the spring, or was it a meeting about leadership that was misinterpreted or whatever? So that everything that happened here and then ultimately led to Micah Parsons being traded comes from that meeting. And so I think over the last couple of weeks, everybody started to get a sense this was heading for a divorce. The question was just, was it going to be in the spring after the season ended, or was it going to occur right before the season? Were they going to be willing to do that? And I think Dallas kind of looked at their options and said, look, we're probably, our depth is probably strongest at edge rusher to begin with. They've invested higher draft picks in recent years in Sam Williams, Marshawn Nealand, Donovan Ezeraku this year. They signed Dante Fowler back from Washington this past offseason. And they've got some guys who can rush the passer there. So obviously Micah is the best of them, but I think they felt like their depth there is strong. They could weather that right now. And if they were going to do that, they needed to get somebody who was an interior player. So I know some people have said, why didn't you get Edgerrin Cooper from Green Bay? Or why didn't you do this or that? I think they wanted to make sure that they were getting an interior defensive lineman along with the draft capital that they got. But this is something where I think it had just reached a boiling point, and everybody felt like a reset was best for all parties involved.
But it just seems strange, though. I understand the reset, and it like you reach a boiling point, but you don't let this type of player leave at that age, this early in their career. And it seemed to me, like you said, it all happened from that meeting. Jerry thought he had manipulated Micah. Micah bucked back, and he didn't like that. That's just weird to me.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think you're right, Beamish. Like, if it's under those terms, it doesn't make sense. And that's why I think everybody has looked at it and gone, like, what are we missing? There's some aspect of this that we're not missing, that somebody must know, that somebody's got this piece of information in their possession, or it's got to be this or that. Jerry last night, when talking about the negotiation, he had something that's not really been played up very much, but he sort of referenced it in his Stephen A. Smith interview last week. And when he was giving the timeline yesterday, he made mention of that they met, he extended an offer, and then he said that Micah left and called back and talked to Steven and gave a counter offer, and that they then worked through that and came to an agreement. So if Jerry's correct about that, which obviously it's a he said, she said thing, but if Jerry is correct about that, then that means Micah did know that was a negotiation, and it wasn't playing something over. Because if Micah came back with numbers and then countermeasures, then that would be a significant aspect of this. The thing is, just Mike Asai will dispute that that's what happened. Uh-huh. And so that there's a whole disagreement there, but if that, it's from that perspective, you then, I think, can make a little more sense of, if Jerry believes that's how it went down, then I think you can sort of start to understand a little bit more Jerry's level of distrust and just not being able to say, I'm not going to go that far with you then. I can't trust you after that. And sort of the public, you know, disputes that they had. But again, Micah would dispute that, I think. I think Micah's agents, the David Mulligetta and Andre mm-hmm. Odom, I think they both would dispute it. And so, but that sort of miscommunication, it's not unlike what's been covered in this new Netflix series of the miscommunication that Jimmy and Jerry have, where it's like, how can you guys have such massive disagreements on how something went down to where it's like, oh yeah, I told Jerry to... we're not going to play this up in front of the war room cameras. And then Jerry's like, you know, no, I never said that I would ever want to play something up in front of the war room cameras. That's not how it went, or it went this way. There's all these disagreements that it's like, how can you guys be this far split? And that's why this one reminded me more of Jimmy and Jerry in their split than any of the previous contract negotiations.
See, I'm just a simple man. I'm like this. If Jerry had offered the deal he said he offered, and when he told you, if I come back and I say, I need you to talk to my agent and do this thing, I don't see what's the problem at that point.
So Jerry, the way Jerry positioned it again yesterday was, Jerry said that they agreed to the terms. Micah then said, I need to take this back to my agent. And he actually laughed and he was like, I give him credit for it. It was smooth. But he said that they then recognized that that was Dallas's number and that then they were going to negotiate them up from there. So they were going to come back with a number higher than what Dallas had for him. So that was Jerry's interpretation of how it went down, that it wasn't confusion, that there was an understanding of what it was. They were trying to get Dallas to say what their number was, what they would agree to, and then they were going to ask for more. Huh? And so that was kind of the setup for I honestly don't believe that's how it went down. I don't think Micah went in there. I think Micah, what was more likely is Micah sat there, realized, uh-oh, like a little bit up to my neck in water here, didn't mean to be, I gotta bow out of this and I got to get David involved. Uh-huh. And I think that's where things have gotten murky.
Yeah.
Talking with our friend Bobby Belt here from 105.3 The Fan down in Dallas. Give him a follow at Bobby Belt TX. Bobby joining us via the Rude Guest Hotline. Let's get to the other side of this thing then, because not that they're at all similar. I mean, they're different sports, different owners, everything. But I feel like Dallas fans, like folks in Dallas, are probably on edge a little after the Luka trade. And then Micah Parsons gets traded away. What is the fan reaction down there?
It's oddly enough, it's actually probably a good example of why the Mavericks aired so much in blindsiding the fan base with it. Because this whole public spat that's occurred, even though most people – I think believe Jerry's at fault in the public eye. I think most people, the fans, look at it and say that Jerry's at fault. It did effectively wear some fans down with Micah, to where they were saying he's just, you know, he's being petty and he doesn't even show up in playoff games. Well, like, he shouldn't be making a big fuss out of this anyway, to the point where when we took calls this morning on the show, I would say 4 out of every 5 calls said good riddance to Micah. Uh-huh. And so it was something that, yeah, like it's something that it's, there was fatigue had set in, exhaustion had set in with this fan base over it, to where I think they were just like, I want to be done with it. And then they start thinking more and more and going, yeah, you know what? Does Micah do this? Do I like that Micah does this? You know what? And so there's still plenty of people who are blaming Jerry. They don't love Jerry in this. It's not like Jerry comes out a hero, but it more comes out, they're not happy with anyone. And so I would say the majority of the fan base had reached a point where they were fine trading Micah Parsons.
But I'm on a text thread with, I would say, 8 of the people live in Dallas. Those 8 people don't agree with Jerry. Believe me that.
Oh, no, yeah. No, nobody agrees with Jerry. They just, I think they've worn tired of Micah and Jerry both.
But what they need to realize is this type of thing with Micah has happened with Emmett, but they ended up signing a deal. It happened with Michael. They signed a deal later. It happened with Dak. It happened with CeeDee. Jerry does this to his players all the time. Micah was the first one to stand up to him and try to switch it up, and he didn't like that.
100%. That's what it is. And, look, ultimately, I think Jory Epstein from Yahoo Sports had given this description a couple months ago, and I thought it was a really good way of putting it, was that typically the same song and dance is Jerry gets to win the media battle, and in exchange, you win everything in the negotiation, basically. It's not like that's how I think Jerry walks in there thinking of it, but Jerry gets to, you know, ultimately have his tussle in the media and get his attention and everything else. But then in the end, he gives them everything they asked for. Like, uh-huh. it doesn't ever look like there was a single concession from the Cowboys when these deals get done. So when you see that and you see that the player ends up getting everything that they want, then that's kind of how the whole thing went back. You're right, though. Micah did not play it that way. Micah wasn't going to just sit back and then let Jerry have that time. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it was an ego thing or anything else. I think it just is how Micah approached it and how Micah felt about it. And so because of that, you're right. I think all the other negotiations they've had that ultimately ended with, it's the same old thing. Cowboys are going to get it done in the end. The reason why this one felt like it's not the same old thing the whole time leading up to the trade happening was because it was the first time in one of these negotiations where we've always speculated, ooh, would Dak be offended by that thing Jerry said? Is CeeDee offended by that thing Jerry said? This is the first time where we're asking the question, is Jerry offended by the player right now? And that introduced a new dynamic that nobody was familiar with and nobody knew how Jerry would react to it. And ultimately you see it leads to something similar to the Jimmy and Jerry thing. The toast that Jimmy didn't toast Jerry in Florida in 1994 at those owners meetings. And ultimately that kind of being the final straw, you could make the case that Micah lounging on the, you know, athletic table on the sideline last Friday was a version of that toast and how it was just, all right, that's it. We're done.
Bobby, last thing from me, dude, now, Washington had its drama this training camp, right, with the McLaurin holdout, hold in. That ended Monday. It's all smiles. I kind of believe that it's all smiles. Everybody turns the page. In Dallas, how does this sit in that locker room when you know CD had to battle and then finally broke through, and Dak had to battle and finally broke through for his deal? I don't know if Parsons was loved or not or what, but, like, just where are the players in all this?
I think I wouldn't say there were a ton of people who were just like, get him out. Yeah. Like it's not like torch and pitchforks or anything like that. I also don't think that this is any sort of a culture killer for most players. I think that a lot of people recognize Mike is a hell of a player. And they also recognize Mike is still learning how to be a pro sometimes in the day-to-day stuff with them. And Mike is still learning how to, there's a very viral clip back when Mike was a rookie on Hard Knocks where he's talking to Leighton Vander Esch on the sideline. He's saying, like, I want to make the play. And Leighton Vander Esch says, yeah, but you got to know which is your play to make. And a lot of people, fans looked at that and were like, oh, Leighton Vander Esch doesn't have the spirit to go make every play. But Leighton was right. It's like, there's assignments. You guys have assignments. You have jobs. And if you don't do your job or you try to do somebody else's, you hang everybody else out to dry. And I think that was sometimes the case with Micah, that hero ball would take place. And there were some teammates sometimes who I don't think loved it. I don't think teammates always loved the podcast. But I think that for the Cowboys players, nobody's just like demanding he go. Nobody was demanding he stay either. I think a lot of the feedback the team would have gotten from the players and did get from some players, some veterans, I think a lot of the feedback they got was, you guys do whatever you think you need to do.
Right. How do you expect the Cowboys to finish strong this year? I mean,
hell no. They're picking 12th probably. Like, I don't know. They're not going to be good this year. I really believe in Brian Schottenheimer and what he's doing here. I would take Brian Schottenheimer 10 times out of 10 over Mike McCarthy. So I'm fine with him. I like what he's trying to build here, but no, they were decimated, their depth last year, and they didn't have enough resources to replenish it this year. So it's a process. It's a building block. That's one of the reasons you go out and get these picks and you free up cap space, too, is because it does allow you some flexibility. But this is – it's not a rebuild year, but they're, like, renovating a wing of a house, and it's not totally livable. And so, I think they're probably a 7-win team, and I don't know that defense is going to be very good this year. Even before Micah was traded, I don't know that it was going to be good.
I mean, it was bad last year with Micah. So,
yeah, exactly.
Bobby, thank you for the time, bro. I know you're very busy today. We appreciate it.
All right, Bobby.
Absolutely. Appreciate y'all.
Brother.
That's our friend Bobby Belt from 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. Appreciate him making time for us. Give Bobby a cover, a follow. He's a very good follow at Bobby Belt TX. I follow him. You should too. When we come back, we're going to make some college football bets. It's B. Mitchell Finley.